Paula Newton is going to kindly read us a short passage from Psalms for us, just to get us in the mood for. She hasn't frozen.
She's frozen.
Oh, well, maybe I will read the passage that Paula had kindly volunteered to read. Oh. If you wanted to follow it, it's in Psalms. It's Psalm 95, and it's just the first seven verses. So I'll read that. Come, let us sing for the joy of the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and exalt him with music and song. For the Lord is great, a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. From his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord and Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, flock. So let's have that thought of thanksgiving and praise and worship to God for all the things he's created, the seas and the mountains and everything. And we'll sing together, Indescribable, as our first song. I'll put everyone on mute so you can have a good old sing. Let's have a little think about that story and what it means for us, and all the ins and outs of it. So if you've been missing Moses since we saw him in the summer, the last time we talked about Moses was when he'd received the Ten Commandments from God and all that fuss that there'd been with Aaron and the golden calves. And we're looking again at Moses because kind of like the watery, not having any water for 3 days, kind of fits in with our whole tap twinning and our harvest theme. And as it said at the beginning of the story, we join Moses and Israelites not long after they had witnessed the amazing miracle of walking across the Red Sea on dry land, and then the waters washing back and putting a stop to Pharaoh's troops. Now, the bit that's not in the Bible here, which I was thinking about, was the scale of the celebration that must have happened. There's a bit in the beginning of chapter 15, before we get to today, that talks about Moses and the Israelites celebrating, and Miriam leading the women with the tambourine and the dancing and the singing. It must have been amazing, actually. The Bible talks about the songs and the words they sing, but the celebration, it was probably an amazing party that went on long into the night, and you'd think it'd be something they would remember for a very, very long time to come. But maybe not, because actually it was only 3 days later that they were moaning again, complaining about this. But when I thought about the situation that they found themselves in, I wondered if actually they were justified in complaining. After all, they are walking in the desert. Their water they brought with them has all been used up. There is no sign of any water. And even if we're thinking back thousands of years, they would have understood, even if they didn't know the science of how bodies work or whatever, that actually not having water was a life-threatening situation. And I just can't imagine what it would be like to travel 3 days on foot in a desert without any water, without any hope of it. The mental situation there must have been just as horrific as the physical situation. I did a quick Google and searched about what it was like in that area. And the summer weather is described as very hot and dry. The temperature in the day can be in its 40s. And at nighttime, the temperatures are still in their mid-30s. One travel site gives the tip that you need a fan or air conditioning to be able to sleep at night. And that, obviously, that's not something that the Israelites had. The same travel website went on to say that the low humidity makes the high temperatures bearable, but that means that dehydration becomes a difficult problem. And that's exactly what the Israelites were facing. Some people ask the question, in 3 days, how far could they have walked? No question, how long could they keep? So anyway, finally, they did come to some water. Their hopes must have skyrocketed to think they'd been saved, only for their happiness to be dashed by the bitterness of the water. It was totally undrinkable. And that's why they called it Mara, which means bitterness. That's bitterness. And imagine they were literally dying of thirst. Then they found some water, only to discover it was salt water. And now their situation, it fits nicely with like Alanis Morissette's ironic song. It's actually ironic rather than anything else, and isn't really. But the situation, it's worse now than when they had no water. So they're standing on the banks of this bitter salt water, the Israelites did what probably you or I would do. They started to moan and complain. They turned to Moses and, you know, gave him what for. And Moses, in turn, cried out to God. God showed Moses the wood and told him to throw it into the water. And immediately Moses did what he'd been asked to do, and the water to drink it. And then the Moses led the people onto another place called Elim, which had springs and palm trees and a proper really good oasis, a delightful place to rest after their trauma and their near-death experience. That whole story is a journey. It's a journey on foot through the desert. It's a journey of moaning, complaining, and then God meeting their needs. It's a journey from bitter water to fresh, life-saving water. When Moses cried out to God, God made the water sweet and refreshing, and it revived them enough to carry on. But it's not just about a journey on foot, though. It's more than that. When Moses cried out to God, God replied with instruction to how Moses should remedy the situation. Moses was part of the solution, and it required Moses to be obedient to God. God could have, obviously, just waved a hand and removed the salt from the water, but he didn't. What he wanted to do was show Moses how to answer. The English translation, this is really interesting, the English translation of the words in that passage don't really translate the instructions clearly. It was God was showing, directing Moses. The word Torah, which is the Jewish holy book, as a noun, is actually a verb as well, which means to give instructions. Specifically, it's giving the law, the Ten Commandments and the other laws. So actually God used Torah as a verb. He Torahed Moses. He told him what to do. He gave him instructions. That's how the water changed from bitter to sweet, not for the benefit of the water, but for the benefit of the people. And if you think about what this means for us, what does it mean when life is bitter, when our situations are difficult? Do we cry out to God, or do we just complain and moan and grumble? What do we do when other people are facing hardships? Do we turn to God and ask him what is our role? What is his instructions for us? Do we listen to his direction? Do we wait for him to show us how to be part of the solution? Or do we throw prayers up into the sky, hoping that this big almighty hand will wave and everyone will live happily ever after? If Moses hadn't been open to following God's instructions, the Israelites would have died on the banks and have dehydrated quicker by salt water than no water at all. I wonder if this is getting a bit too serious now. This is supposed to be a harvest celebration. And I wonder if we just think now about actually how God provided for the Israelites, how they had so much to be thankful for, not just in this story, but so many parts of what they've gone through. And they continue to go through chapter 16, which comes next. God provides more. He provides the manna and the quail. There's so much for the Israelites to be thankful for. And God continues to provide for them. And he provides for us. And we're here to give thanks today for the things that he provided for us and all the things, not just in our kind of food and drink, but in all the areas of our life. And if I had remembered before I started talking, I would have asked you to draw or make something that would represent what you're thankful for. So let's do a little different twist on that. If I unmute everyone, and give everyone the chance to just say, what are the things that that you're grateful for, that God has provided for you, that we can say thank you for now? And if you've got time to do a quick doodle of it, great. But otherwise, we'll do it with our words and our voices. Now I've put you all on the spot. But hopefully, Moses and the Israelites' story has inspired you. That even when it comes to something as basic as not having water to stay alive, God can provide that from the most unusual places. And I wonder if other people have got examples and things we can pray for now that we are thankfully quiet.
I think we should be very grateful for electricity and all, if you think about it, all that it provides these days, well, for us in European countries, with washing machines and light, and to make our life a lot easier. There's just I don't think we'd be able to cope, obviously not without water, but electricity is a very big thing.
Thanks, Marianne. That's a good one. Yeah. Oh, what's Rob got?
Iris has sketched it. I'm not a.
Oh, you've got to come closer. Water. Water is a very good water droplet. Right. Yeah.
Water bottle would be great. That's actually a pear.
That last week.
Shelter and warmth.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Looking at the weather outside.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were coming from your boat experience. Warmth isn't a given, really, is it?
I'm way more aware of it, yes.
Somebody else was speaking at the
same. Shelter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, having a roof over our heads.
Yes.
Healthy bodies.
Yes. Yeah. And the fact that we've got healthcare easily accessible
when it's definitely. Not yeah. Wonderful. Yes. Trying to join in.
Gabriel joining in.
Yeah.
personally, I would like children to something to be very thankful for most of the time. Sorry, somebody else was talking then. Gavin, was it you? Did I hear your voice?
No.
Oh, I thought I had another mail.
I'd say living in a country that's relatively peaceful when so many countries have war going on.
Yes,
definitely.
And I was thinking, it's not essential, but nowadays technology is really, really important because especially now we can still see our family and speak with our friends. And I think it fights against loneliness.
Yes, definitely.
And the moment that makes a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody else want to add something to our thankful list and then we'll pray for these
things? I was going to say beauty of nature.
Yes. Books.
Yeah.
Because there's so much learning you can do. They bring you pleasure. They can improve your life with their self-help book, this sort of thing. And also all the big wide variety that there are with books these days. And also I'm sitting here stroking Rufus, who snuggled up to me. Pets, I think, are important, even more so for people who are can't get to see their families. Perhaps if they've got a pet, they become even more important.
They're quite important for teenagers as well with hormones. I find that pets are a very calming influence when parents have no success at all. Many facets. Anybody else?
Mission organisations that provide relief for all the things we're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. People may have their own things that they want to privately pray for as we do our prayers together now, and that's absolutely fine. But if we just pray together now, I'll pray through these things. If there are other things on your hearts and in your minds that you just want to quietly include, please do. I'll leave us unmuted. I don't think it matters. Let's take some time to If you do want to do a little drawing or a make of something you're thankful for, then you still can. we can still look at those at the end. We're going to have a little look at a DVD that shows us what the taps look like in the developing communities that we would like to consider twinning with, depending on people's donations. So I think Dave will share us a little video. I'll put us all on mute.
The most hand wash. Tell me about your tippy tap. Yep. Okay. So the plastic bottle is strung with a bit of string over a really simple wooden little frame, and you've got a foot pedal, and then the water trickles out of some drilled holes. So I've got wet hands. Okay. Use the soap. Okay. Okay, make sure soap's everywhere. Back of the hands, back of the fingers, above the wrists. God, we could all learn from you. Clean nails. Yep. And then rinse. Yeah. Okay. Wait, there we go. And then. So it's just the best thing. All it uses is a bit of wood, an old plastic bottle, and because you've got a foot pedal, it means that your hands stay totally clean. Ready? Okay? Hands up, like a doctor.
Thank you, Dave. So I don't know what you were doing a couple of weeks ago. when the water pressure dropped off and the whole of Cotner was affected. We had enough of a trickle of water in our kitchen to fill up the kettle, albeit very slowly, but in the loft conversion up here, there was no water. If you're on social media, you will have seen the hubbub it caused and all the inconvenience, which was really rather small in comparison to other situations. There were workmen that came out overnight, and by the morning, the water pressure was fully restored. I don't think the people on Beach Road got much sleep, but they sacrificed that for the benefit of everyone else. I think most of the worry was about the uncertainty of what was going on and not knowing how long it would last. That feeling of being out of control of something so basic as a water supply, quite understandably scary. But that one night of inconvenience, which really wasn't that inconvenient and which we were all sleeping through, is nothing compared to the Israelites' desperate need for water when they were in the desert. Nor is it comparable in any way to walking for hours to collect not even clean water, but dirty water for family. As a mother, it's really heartbreaking to think that I wouldn't or couldn't give my children an unlimited amount of safe, clean water on a daily basis. Imagine if the choice was no water or dirty water, a choice between dehydration or possibly diarrhea or worse. There's obviously been a need for good hygiene forever, but obviously it's come to the forefront while we've COVID's been around. And thank God, literally, thank God that there were some clever people who were able to use the current situation of the pandemic to make this an opportunity to get some taps and some water and some soap, which would be considered luxury items. They've got their, you know, base requirement to have all the time. The tap twinning works in a similar way to the toilet twinnings. If you were here when we twinned our toilets at church, it's not about a charity going in, putting a toilet or a tap in and then walking away. It's very much about educating a community, about educating the local people about the hygiene situation. And then the local people buy into the whole activity. They take ownership of the projects. So the taps, like the toilets, are built and maintained by that community using local resources and using local. So it empowers them as well as change. And it means that they're maintained ad infinitum. They are there to do it themselves. Taps are currently being twinned in the Congo, Ethiopia, Guatemala, Malawi, Nepal and Uganda. And as a church, we'd like to support this along with Food Bank as part of our harvest celebration. So this is a point in the service where I'd like us to bring our donations together. So if you're giving things for Food Bank, perhaps and bring them. You don't need to display them on Zoom or anything. Just have them with you. If you're wanting to give money to Tap Twinning, then perhaps just bring your purse. Or if you've got an app on your phone, you can just bring that as a way of kind of marking what we're doing. So take a moment, gather your things if you haven't already got them. Okay, most people. So what I want to do is just pray over those things in front of us, or the app we're going to use, or cash we've got enough, as we would normally. Normally in church, we would bring all our donations up onto the table at the front, and we would put our money in the collection bags, and we would pray over them there and then. So this is our new modern way of doing things. It's not very elegant. It's not traditional. But if we think back to Moses and the Israelites, a lot of what we learned about them was it was about the attitude of their heart and what they were really, really doing, how they were motivated was what was actually important to God. And whether it looked very pretty or elegant, I don't think that's so important. So let's pray over those things we've got in for a moment. Thank you, God, that we have enough to share, no matter how big or small that might be. And remember the woman who gave those precious 2 coins that meant more than all the other offerings. We pray for Food Bank, Lord. We pray, we thank you that the local warehouse is well and that the increase in need across the county has been met so far. We offer you these gift items today. We ask you to help those people who are in need, even when it's hard to ask for help. We pray for the people who work at Cotton Food Bank and other food banks, to be able to offer a warm and supportive welcome, even though there's no refreshments and the other things that we normally do aren't there. Guide us as a church in overseeing the local distribution and how we manage the resources. And Father God, we thank you that we have fresh running water at our disposal without any real worries about whether it's clean or safe and whether it's going to flow. We bring before you our monetary donations for tap twinning, and we pray for the organisers in the UK to make wise choices as to where to use the money. We pray for the governments in the country where there is most need to accept the aid workers willingly. We pray for the safety of the workers in those communities, helping them to establish water supply and sort of taps. And we pray for fruitful and productive. We pray for the communities who have received taps and those who are still in need, that there will be good hygiene practices that will be adopted and become the new normal. Father God, please accept these gifts as we ask in your name, the name of your Son. Thank you, everybody. You can either, as Kate mentioned earlier, but just to make sure everyone knows, you can either do a transfer using BACS to the church account with a reference tap, or you can drop John cash in an envelope with tap written on the front. And you can drop your food bank donations either at church on Wednesday afternoon between 1:30 and 2:30. Or Paula Mays has happily said she will accept them at her house if that time slot isn't convenient. So anytime during the week, you can check with Paula. And thank you. It's not compulsory, it's for fun. Oh, go on.
Can I just, if you're not, don't come to our church regularly, but you still want to give to tap twinning, you can just go to the toilet twinning website and they do tap twinning through there. So just in case they're not to give, but doesn't have access to our account.
Okay, thank you. And so now we'll have we'll sing a song to kind of finish off with. We're going to sing Men of Faith. So I think John will play that for us. I'll put it on mute.
So as we conclude our time together this morning, celebrating harvest and also remembering those who don't have as much as we do, may we always be thankful for the things that God has given us. And may we always recognise the need of others and have the compassion of God to reach out to them too. And may God bless us and keep us and walk